Good morning to you. Will you turn to Acts chapter 1. In Acts 1:8, we read that Jesus says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, and you will be my witnesses." That's the beginning of Acts 1. Near the end of Acts 1, Peter tells the 120, "We need to choose one more man to be a witness with us." One more to be a witness? Only one? And then there were enough witnesses? So what does it mean to be a witness? And who qualifies? And what kind of witness does Peter have in mind? We will find out today. What we learn from Acts 1 is that Jesus was particular about his followers would first speak about him. Jesus was determined that right from the start, the church would be aimed the right way. Jesus left no room for the gospel to have a sloppy beginning and then correct it later. How would the disciples talk about him? How would they explain him? How would they tell the gospel? What must they tell others about him? Jesus was very careful about this. The gospel must have the right foundation so that we do not lose our way. So Luke reminds us of the end of his gospel. In Acts 1, Luke reminds us of the end of his gospel. So I'm going to read the first three verses of Acts chapter 1. "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God." So Acts begins, "In my former book." So Luke begins Acts by taking us to the end of his gospel. And the things Jesus did with the apostles after his suffering and resurrection. So now we're going to go back to Luke 24 and we're going to see three ways in which Jesus prepared his witnesses back there. Preparation one was make sure the witnesses are convinced of his resurrection. When Jesus first appeared to his followers after his death, they were startled and scared, and they thought they were seeing some kind of spirit or ghost. Jesus said, "Why are you troubled and uncertain? Look at my hands and my feet. It's me. Poke me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." So Jesus showed them his hands and feet so they could see the marks from the nails of crucifixion, and he invited them to prod his body. And then Jesus asked them for food. He did not bring his own food. He wanted them to know this was real, ordinary food, and he ate their food in front of them. And Acts 1 tells us, with many convincing proofs, Jesus did this kind of thing repeatedly for 40 days. You see, for Jesus, it was not enough for his witnesses just to see him once or twice. They had to see him and experience his real flesh and bones and eat with him for 40 days. So no one could convince any of those 11 men that Jesus had not actually risen from the dead. Jesus does this with the chosen apostles, the 11. There are other followers in Jerusalem, and he appears to them once in a while, but he concentrates completely on the 11. In Acts 1, Luke names the 11 in verses 13 and 14, so we know who exactly this is. In Acts 1, we don't read a word about any other believers until the middle of verse 14. So, the first preparation is that Jesus makes the 11 are certain about his resurrection, and no one will ever convince them otherwise. Preparation 2. Learn what the Old Testament said about Jesus. This also is in Luke 24. The witnesses Jesus chose needed to know how the Lord understood the Scriptures, the Old Testament, to be speaking about him. So Jesus spoke to the two men walking to Emmaus in Luke 24, and it says there that beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them from all the scriptures about himself. And later, that was just with the two. Later in Luke 24, when Jesus appeared to them all, he said, I told you this before, that everything in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms about me had to be fulfilled. And then it says, he opened their minds so they could understand the Scripture. You see, Jesus did not tell them to go read all the messianic prophecies in the Old Testament. That's not what he did. He did not say that because Jesus had his own set of scriptures that he knew to be speaking about the Christ, and that is what he taught them. For example, all Jews knew that Psalm 2 was messianic. That's where God said, "You are my son." And they knew Psalm 110 was messianic, where God said, "Sit at my right hand." But Psalm 16 says, "You will not let my flesh see decay." And that was also about the Messiah. And Psalm 118, about the rejected stone becoming the cornerstone, was also a messianic psalm. The Jews didn't know that. So there were all kinds of scriptures that Jesus knew to be about the Christ, about himself, that never occurred to the Jews. And that's the kind of thing Jesus taught the 11 for 40 days. The sermons and the speeches in Acts, right from Peter at the end of Acts 1 to Paul at the very end of Acts, at the end of Acts chapter 28, are all full of Old Testament quotes. And that's because of what happened for 40 days between the resurrection of Jesus and his ascension. So Jesus, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, had his own understanding of what the Old Testament was saying about him. And there was a lot of Old Testament teaching during those 40 days. At the end of Acts 1, when Peter and the 120 chose another apostle to replace Judas, Peter quoted two different psalms in his speech. Did Peter pick those two psalms? No, Jesus taught them that. Jesus had told them they needed to replace Judas, and Jesus used those psalms in his teaching. You see, Jesus did not want his resurrection announced or the gospel preached by witnesses who had not learned his understanding of when the Old Testament spoke about him. His witnesses must have that. In Luke 24, right after we get the second summary of Jesus' old teaching, Jesus said to them, "You are witnesses of these things." Witnesses of what things? Of what they just learned from him about Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. All the places the Old Testament spoke about Jesus. Witnesses had to have that. And that's the second preparation. So they had to be certain about his resurrection, and they had to go to the Jesus course on messianic prophecy. Preparation 3 was wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit. Witness could not happen until the Holy Spirit had come, and that would only happen in Jerusalem. It had to begin in Jerusalem, and this thing had to be energized and carried along by the Holy Spirit the whole way. Do you know that even Jesus, after the resurrection, was still taught and carried along by the Holy Spirit? He was dependent on the Holy Spirit. In the scripture I read to you from the beginning of Acts, it says, for 40 days, Jesus was giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. Jesus taught the 11 chosen apostles, and the Spirit was guiding and teaching Jesus and giving him words to say. I hope you have seen by now that we are not witnesses in the way that Acts 1 describes witnesses. There were only 12 of those. We have the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit was not given to us to be that kind of witness. In Acts, even after the Spirit comes on the church, there are still only 12 witnesses. Paul writes to 1 Corinthians. Paul writes 1 Corinthians to a church that was very excited to have the Holy Spirit, but they also misunderstood the Holy Spirit. And Paul wants to clear up, that's the first thing, who does and does not have the Holy Spirit. So he says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. If a person can say Jesus is Lord of heaven and earth, and he has full rights to my life, that person unquestionably has the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit must do a great renewing in our minds for us to say that and mean it. But how that shows itself in our lives will vary after that. It's different, and that Spirit made the 12 into bold and powerful witnesses and preachers, but the same Spirit made the 3,000 new believers into instant family. Huge, joyful, instant family. That's the same Spirit. So the 12 have to wait in Jerusalem for the Spirit, and then they will be witnesses. Preparation 4. They have to be with Jesus from John the Baptist to the resurrection. So the 120 came together. This is the end of Acts 1. And Peter led them to find a replacement for Judas. It had to be, they said, one of those who had listened to John the Baptist preach and had been baptized by John, and then to have followed Jesus around up to and including his resurrection appearances. So Jesus had a crowd of Galileans that followed him from the start of his ministry. There were not just 12 followers. There was a larger crowd, perhaps 200, I'm just guessing. And there were many women in that group. So Peter and the 120 narrowed it down to 2 men who they thought could replace Judas and join the 11. And then they prayed so that Jesus would make the final choice. And they drew lots. They used some random way so that the Lord could make his preference known. So we learn a couple things here about this. First of all, the Lord himself chose all the witnesses. Back in Acts chapter 1, verse 2, the section I read, we read that Jesus was teaching the apostles he had chosen. That's how one got to be a witness, and the Lord also chose the one to replace Judas. The Lord chose. And those preachers had to know the whole story of Jesus firsthand. They did not know the Jesus story if they themselves had not listened to John the Baptist and been baptized by John, and they had to have been in that crowd that followed Jesus around from then on, including seeing the resurrected Jesus. So the first preachers, these witnesses, had to be there for all that. See, Jesus here and all of this stuff in Luke 24 and in Acts 1, Jesus is crafting the beginning of the church. He's making sure it gets started in the right direction. The church will not have a sloppy beginning, and Christ will not be preached any old way, and the gospel will not be preached any old way. So Jesus formed a group of 12 men that knew all about his life on earth, and they knew what the whole Testament said about him, and they knew for sure that he was alive, and they had the Holy Spirit. And there was a group of them, so the 12 could correct one another and remind one another about these things. In the early chapters of Acts, these apostles are a tight group. They're together all the time, and they are the only ones evangelizing, at least that we read about in Acts, until the second half of chapter 6. So, the witnesses had to be sure of the resurrection. They had to attend the Lord's Messiah in the Old Testament school. They had to know his whole life firsthand, and they had to have the Holy Spirit. And there's one more thing. There had to be 12. Preparation 5. There had to be 12. Why did there have to be 12 apostles, 12 witnesses? For a long time, I thought Jesus picked 12 because this was a number he found convenient, as many as he thought he could be close to and teach. But then it does not make sense that Jesus needed to pick a 12th after he left. Matthias, the 12th, did not have the kind of preparation that the 11 had. That's for sure. But for some reason, there had to be 12. For some reason, the message itself, the gospel itself, would be weakened and compromised if it did not come from a group of 12. What kind of gospel, what kind of message is Jesus sending out that it has to come from 12 or it is not complete? Almost half of Acts 1 tells us about replacing Judas so there could be 12. I sort of took the second half of Acts 1 as a waste of space. Who cares if there are 12? But the Spirit was guiding Luke in writing this, and it matters. So the question is, what am I not seeing? 12 means people of God. It means Israel. In Matthew 19 and in Luke 22, Jesus tells the 12 that they will rule the 12 tribes of Israel. 12 means the people of God. See, Jesus is not just starting the church. Jesus is somehow reconstituting Israel, reforming, revising, renewing Israel. So the 12 disciples are all Israelites, and the tribe still exists, but something big and new is happening. The first people of God, the first nation of God, was built on the 12 sons of Jacob, so the revised and renewed people are built on the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Jesus picked 12 as an echo of the 12 sons of Jacob and the 12 tribes of Israel. And it has to begin in Jerusalem, the capital city of unified Israel. That's where the Spirit will come, and that's where the 12 will witness. So you see, my brothers and sisters, the good news is bigger than individuals coming to Jesus to have their sins forgiven. Jesus began a new nation, and he could not send that message out unless there were 12. And that's why the summary of the life together of the 3,000 converts after Peter's Pentecost sermon in Acts 2 is so important. After the Spirit and the Gospel, those people from all over are an incredibly unified group. They are the new people of God. We read at the start of this sermon that Jesus spoke to them for 40 days about the kingdom of God. Remember that kingdom in those days often meant the same as nation. So he was teaching them about the new people of God, the new nation of God, and that's why he needed to have 12 apostles. So you see, Jesus did not say, "You will be my witnesses to us." He said it to the 11. And even after there are more preachers in Acts, they're not called witnesses. Luke 24 and Acts 1 are not calling us to be witnesses. They tell us the gospel that Jesus insisted we hear and that we would pass on faithfully. What gospel did Jesus make sure that we hear? 5 things. 1, complete certainty that Jesus rose from the dead. 2, solid foundation in Old Testament scripture. 3, the Holy Spirit is essential to all of this. 4, thorough familiarity with the whole earthly ministry of Jesus. And 5, the gospel recreates and revises the people of God. God's nation is renewed around the Christ. So that's the gospel that saves us, and that's the gospel we pass on. And our faith rests to a considerable degree on the faith and on the knowledge and on the teaching of those 12. So, how do we respond to the gospel? We will repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and then we will act like the new people of God, as we see at the end of Acts 2. We will repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and we will act like the new people of God, as we see at the end of Acts 2. Amen. Let's pray. Christ our Lord, you were more careful about this than we thought. Thank you for the gospel, Lord. Thank you for being so thorough with those men. And thank you that you have opened our hearts to receive this very gospel so that we would be brought into the kingdom of your Son. And now have mercy on us and help us to live together worthy of our calling. Amen. Will you arise, please, for the benediction? May the Lord direct our hearts into God's love and into Christ's perseverance. May the Lord of peace give us peace at all times, in every way. The Lord be with you all. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.